If you don't know me, my name is Kim, and I am so honored to be with you here this morning. A few moments of just me sharing with you in case you haven't met me. I was here a really long time. I'm 17 years, a whole almost adult lifetime I was here, and it was a blessing, and it just feels like home. So the other thing you got to know about me is I'm an emotional person. I am stable. I just cry. So don't worry. If I cry, I'm not going to fall apart. I just don't care if I cry in front of people. So it's okay. You can cry with me if you want. You might want to cry later anyway. So I just invite you right off the top. I do have with me today three of my five-member outside of myself family. I am married to the most handsome bald man on the planet. No offense to all other bald men in the room. I just like him best. His name is Kevin, and we've been married a few years. I have four awesome kids. I have a 21-year-old son, Kyle, who goes to IUPUI, majors in business. I have a 20-year-old son, Jackson, who was born into this church. And he is a music ed major at Indiana State. I have a 20-year-old daughter, Michaela, who goes to Ball State and is majoring in sociology. And I have a 17-year-old daughter, Faith, who is a senior at Center Grove High School. So, and I want to homeschool college her so that she has to stay home and she can graduate with no debt, whatever major she wants. And I think that's a great deal, but she continues to decline. But anyways, just a little bit about who I am. And the pleasure I have to be with you here this morning. A few weeks ago, as we were sitting out on my back deck, Pastor Daniel was over, and he asked me if I would consider coming and sharing with you this morning. And I jumped at the chance. And ever since then, I just have begun praying, God, what word is it that you would like for me to bring and encourage this community of people that they might continue to experience more of who you are and more of who you've brought them together to be? And so he immediately brought me into a passage of wanting to encourage you to be like kids. That's a great response. Okay, so I want to encourage you this morning that God says that you're supposed to be childlike. Is that not awesome? I am halfway to 96. I like to know my halfway age. If you're good with math, you can figure out my real age. But I'm halfway to 96, and I like to tell people that my mental age is well below that. Because I think that it's super important that I stay as childlike as I can while remaining as responsible as I can to the Word of God. That I've got to let up a little bit on myself. And I know Pastor Brandon has said this before, that you shouldn't should on anyone. You've all heard that before. I think that's so powerful. Watch the way you say it. But it is so true. Don't should on anyone. Don't should on yourself. Super important to give yourself some space. And it's very important to keep ourselves joyful in this day when the world wants to suck all joy out of our lives. In a world that wants to tell us that as Jesus followers, we're a defeated people and a dying people. In a world that tells us that our ways are archaic and that don't mean anything. I want to tell you that I don't believe any of those things and that I'm super excited to be a Jesus follower, and I pray you are too, and it's one of those great things that we should be shouting from the mountaintops if we can understand what it is that God's called us to be about. Amen? Amen. So as I was praying over this, I was telling my husband I wanted to encourage you to play and to have all this fun, and I started asking God about it, and then he started turning the message a little bit. And what he did was he gave me a lab to play about being a child. And so this last week, I got to go to this thing called International Youth Convention, which is a gathering, if you don't know, of youth from all over the world, honestly. I met some people from Great Britain this last week while I was there. I know there were other countries represented. But there were almost 4,000 people, and this year it happened to be in downtown Indianapolis. You all sent a great group from this community to be a part of it. And we worshiped together, and we learned together, and we served together, and we laughed, and we cried, and some of us slept, some of us didn't. And it was a great few days of opportunity to gather together. But it was in the middle of that that I had the opportunity this year for the first time to be a counselor and not a leader. I'm in transition in my ministry, and so I have someone who is learning to be the youth pastor, and then I have a daughter who's 19, who's actually at Town Center today, the church where I serve, because she's our intern. So she was leading the trip, and I was just one of the staff. But my luck and who I asked for were the junior high girls. Yes. It was amazing. And if you would have seen me, I had a big 7-8-inch bow put in the back of my hair with a unicorn horn in the back. And I got to run and play and dance and laugh and be a child. But what I wasn't ready for was how these guys lived. You see, our very first day, and the thing we started praying about is, God, help us not to see this as an event, but as a way of living. And just a time where we got to live a little bit closer for a little bit longer. Because I don't know about you, Sundays and Wednesdays just don't get it for me. I like to hang out with Jesus followers because I need some serious help. And I need to be connected far more often than a few hours on a Sunday morning and an hour or two on Wednesday night. And it also can't be like this, one person on all of you. Because all I'm going to do is talk, and you guys are going to talk back to me in your heads, and I won't have any idea what you're thinking. It's not a real thing. It's worse than Facebook. So just think of it that way. So what I wasn't prepared for as I was praying is what happened as I was walking around with these middle school girls. And the first day, they chose to go to Subway. What a great meal. I was thinking, I can make a bologna sandwich at home, but whatever. We'll go to Subway. They were excited. And as we walked out of Subway and we walked under the Circle Center Bridge area, the Arts Garden area, a homeless man was standing at the corner with a sign that said, "Be blessed." And so we stopped and we talked to him, and the man's name was John. Three middle school girls and I. And he folded his sign and he put it underneath his arm and he said, "I am more blessed than most people I know." And he began to praise God on the street corner, talking to us about how amazingly blessed he was. And if I could show you the looks of the faces of the three sixth grade girls and seventh grade girls I had with me as they backed away from him for a moment because it wasn't what they were expecting. And he just started telling them, you know, there are people here who just need to be seen, and we just need to be talked to, and we just need to be encouraged. That's all we really need. He said, "I eat better than most people." He said, "I probably ate better than you." And I thought, "You sure did, because I just ate at Subway." He was like, "People bring me stuff from Morton's and people." I'm like, "You definitely do eat better than me." But he said, "Guys, that's not what's important. What's important is valuing people." And as we walked away from this man, the girls in my group said, "Can we get him some water? Can we go back?" And so they were ready to shop, but they turned their minds around and they pooled their money and they got him water and a Cinnabon because they thought he needed dessert after all the food he had talked about. And they took it back to him and we just talked. And we said, "Can we pray for you?" And one of them prayed for him. And before we knew it, he said, "Can I pray for you?" And what was really cool is right about the time all of this was happening, our Meridian friends showed up. And right there on the corner of downtown Indianapolis, before the convention ever began, some believers from a little bit of everywhere stood in a circle, bowed our heads, and thanked God for how blessed we were, led by a homeless man on the corner. You see, I think in childlike faith, sometimes we have to really stop and give weight to people. It doesn't matter where they come from, or maybe even where they're going, what color skin they have, what they have or what they don't. It's that we stop and we see people because they're people and it's enough. And we believe that their lives have purpose and they have worth. And so what happened 5 days later is as we were heading out on our last day, one of those same little girls got stopped by another homeless lady on the circle who started to tell her story. This story went a little bit differently. This lady wasn't having as good a day as John, who we met the first day. She was having a really bad day, as a matter of fact. And she told the girls that she had been unfortunately abused by the man that she lived with and that she wanted to kill him, which made all of my girls step back. They didn't know what to do with that. And I said, "Oh, I'm sure you don't mean that." She goes, "No, I really do." They stepped back again. But then one little girl stepped forward and she said, "What can we do for you?" And she said, "I just need help. I just want to get off the streets. I just want to sleep." And so this one little girl, noticing that the woman crocheted, said, "How much are those hearts that you have there?" And she said, "I usually sell them for $5. She said, "I'll give you everything I have." And I watched this little girl dig down and bring out all the change that she had and all the money she had and gave it to her. And the woman was overwhelmed. And I wanted to stop her for a minute. Have you ever wanted to do that? Have you ever wanted to go, "I don't know if this is a really good choice. I don't know if you should be doing that right now." But God stopped me and he said, "Just watch." And so this little girl said, "Can we pray for you?" All on her own. Prayed for this woman, asked for her name, said, "I'm going to write this on my hand so I don't forget." And the whole day long, she said, "Kim, we've got to find someone who can help us help this woman." She got out of the van, she got into her mom's car and said, "Kim, we've got to find our mom. We've got to find someone who can help this woman." And today she's going to our church saying, would you please pray for me? Because I believe that God's asking me to help this woman. Now who told, she's not yet 11, she'll be 11 in 2 weeks. Who told an 11-year-old girl that she had the authority to do that? Not me. But I believe God did. She didn't think about all the things that could disqualify her. She thought about what God said qualified her. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. And the scripture I just want to read to you is Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4. I think it reveals our hearts oftentimes, and it reminds us to go back to simpler ways. And it challenges us to look at some people that we might disqualify in a different light. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4 says this. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Wouldn't you guys like to know that? And sometimes we just want to know, how close are we to you, God? So I think that's a pretty common question. And Jesus, in his response, he called a little child to him. And he put the little child in the midst of them. And he said this, I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes it's just so simple, isn't it? We make things so difficult. We think the more we know, the easier it will be. And I think that sometimes we know far too much and we make it far too hard. And so I want you to think about that. If anyone is humble as a child, that they're the greatest in the kingdom. Think about who children were. In those days, maybe like today, do you ever look at a child and try and tell them, don't do that, you can't do that? Oftentimes, it's out of protection. Oftentimes, it's out of wisdom. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we can squash something that God is just starting. And I think that's even true of other adults. Have you ever looked at another adult and said, no, you really can't do that, or no, that's not safe? Or really, why would you want to? I think God calls us to live in, and perhaps dangerously, into a world that's in desperate need of a crazy, outrageous, powerful, fearless God who doesn't want us to shake in our shoes when we share our story about who Jesus is and what he can do. And as I watched that little girl, I was amazed and challenged, inspired and encouraged that it doesn't take much to change a small corner of the world. It takes a moment, and it takes looking someone in the eyes. Little children don't always have status or experience or wisdom, but they can have truth and they can live it out. They always say that the younger you are, that you think black and white. It's really hard not to think A plus B equals C. The older we get, the more abstract we become, and we think that we're so much wiser, when sometimes I think we just become more complicated. It's important for us to hear the great truth that if you turn from your sin, if you turn from like the things that you want to do, I believe that sin is just choosing our way over God's. It's not so much a matter of right and wrong, although I guess we could simplify it to that place, but it's saying, God, I want what you want, so please tell me. And it means that we become dependent on him, and it means it has to get personal. And it means even though I'm standing up here today asking you to be like a child, you've got to ask God what that looks like for you, because I can't tell you. And you will look different than me. It's got to be that personal and that intimate. And there are things that we all have in our lives, places where we're all choosing our way over God's, sin. And we need help. And we need people to encourage us. And we don't need people to judge us for the sin in our lives. We need people to help us turn away from it, to cheer us on, and to tell us that we can. Can you imagine what the church would look like if we became the people who weren't about throwing rocks with Jesus' name on it, but we were about extending a hand and helping someone up who needs to know the name of Jesus without it hitting them in the head and leaving a mark? God calls us to be a loving people who still bring truth, but who don't bring it with this painful force. He desires for us to experience him as children, and children love to run to a loving father, and so should we. He wants us to live simply. He wants us to live lovingly, and he wants us to live in truth. His words should encourage us, but they should encourage us to wonder and to simplicity and to dependency. It's all about a relationship. It's all about time spent knowing the heart of the Father. My friends, if I could encourage you to do anything today, it would be to spend more time with God. I don't know what that means for you. It might mean turning on a different set of music. For me, it means turning everything off sometimes. It may mean opening the Word and just sitting in a verse. Don't worry about how much you read. Worry about what you do with what you read. Ask God what it is that you should obey from it, not what it is you should know from it. It's a totally different thing. In the Word, it says, do not worry about what you know, but do what it says, right? Don't think that it's enough to hear the Word. Do what it says. It will slow you down. How many of you have ever read a bunch of verses in the morning? How many of you have ever read it and thought, I have no idea what I just read, but I just read it? So there's at least half credit for that. Here's what I want to let you know. God doesn't care about that. What he does care about is how you live. And you can know very little and live really well. And our call today is to do that. And that's why I want you to think about that for a moment. If you're a note taker, if you're not, I want you to visualize this with me. Take, and on a piece of paper, write the letter K. And then put an arrow leading up from it that would just be a symbol of how much stuff you know from the Bible. Make it as big or as small as you want. But then right next to that K, write the letter O. And then out of everything you know, write an arrow and make it how much you obey out of what you know. Think of all the sermons you've ever heard, all the devotionals you've ever read, all the verses that you've ever looked at, all the songs that have words in it that you've ever known to be true. Consider all of that and then mark your proportion. And then from that, you guys are loving me already, aren't you? Right next to it, write the letter S. And out of that, write an arrow out of what you know and out of what you obey, how much you share. Because, my friends, if we know a lot but we don't do anything with it, it doesn't really matter. That might bother you, but it's true. If you know it, but you don't obey it, it doesn't work. And out of what we obey, if we're not sharing it, then no wonder the church is dying. Because God's word is so good. It's meant to be shared, but we can't share what we don't do. And if we don't know, we can't obey. They all matter. And what God wants is for them all to be the same. So wherever your arrows lie, work to bring them all to the spot where they're all the same. And don't beat yourself up. Look at it as a restart. Start with love God and love others. Work from there. What if we started going back to those basics and sitting in them with our hearts? Looking to what we obey more than what we know. It will change the way we see ourselves. It'll change the way we see others. God wants us to take all of those things and to keep it simple. So I'm going to encourage you today to think about this with me. Everybody do this. Guys are so obedient. Whenever you head into the Word, keep it simple. What do you like? What do you find challenging? Go ahead and turn with me. There you go. What do you find challenging? Fingers up. What do you learn about God? Fingers out. What do you learn about others? My friends, if when you open the Bible, you will slow it down and just ask yourself those four questions, it will change the way that you read. And it will take what you read and it will put it into practice. Because the last question you should ask yourself is, God, as I have been asking myself, what encourages me as you show me? And by the way, the Word should challenge you. There's probably going to be times where you don't agree with it. There might even be times where you don't like it. Anybody else have some stuff they don't like in the Word? I don't like the whole thing about not getting angry. I am here today because my pastor is preaching about being angry, and I don't have to hear the Word, so I don't have to obey it. Worked out perfectly for me. Just joking. He's already sent me the notes. I have to be tested on Tuesday. Just joking. But there are things in the Word that we don't like. We have to face them, and we need to talk about it with somebody. It should be teaching us about God. We need to know the heart of our Father. If we don't relate it back to Him, it's just a bunch of rules. He didn't die so that we would have a bunch of rules. He died that we would have a way to live. And we've got to look at other people through the Word. It's got to show us ourselves and other people. If we don't, and please don't leave yourself out of what does it teach us about people. If it only teaches you about those people and you are happy that you're not one of those people, you're missing the point. Learn about yourself. Learn about others. What does it teach us? Put it into practice. And that last question, the most important question, do this with me. How many of you like to lift weights? Nobody, except for maybe a few of you. Hardly anyone. It's the practice. We have to practice. We have to obey. We got to take what we just took out of the word and we've got to do with it, because obedience is what changes us. The way we live comes out of it. Our faith becomes real when we look at the words and we see that it's what God calls us to do. Jesus said this: if you love me, you're going to obey me. You will live my words. You won't just know them. And the world needs to see that right now more than ever, my friends. Can I just tell you that? Everyone else is trying to tell people who Christians are. And you know what I've decided? I don't want anybody telling anyone who I am, but I do want to live in a way that people might say, why do you do what you do? And it's not because I'm just a really nice person, because I'm really not that nice. In the last few weeks, our family has been undergoing some changes in our home. It's brought some chaos into our lives. I am fully convinced that control is a lie. Anybody else? I am a control freak. God just continues to tell me control's a lie. Just stop it. If you want to come to my house, I can prove it to you. It looks like a gutted mess. Can I get an amen from people who have seen it? Amen. Okay, so here's the thing I want to let you know. In the last few weeks, I've been anxious, I've been angry, and I've been nasty mean. And I've had to ask my family to forgive me. Amen, family? Amen? They got an amen right there. They're not afraid. They know to speak back to me. And here's the thing I'll let you know. I told them this. You want to know if Jesus is real or not? That's me without him. Today, this is me with him. I told my friend Kathy, today's a good day. It's early in the day. I'm pretty peaceful. I'm feeling good. Could change in the next hour. If I get hangry, something goes wrong at home. But I got to keep asking Jesus to take control of me. People need to see the reality of who he is. And we need to be real with other people. How many of you want to see this gathering of people grow right here? Can I tell you what you need to do? God wants you to see it grow, but he has a plan A, and you're it. Look at somebody next to you and say, you're God's plan A. Look at somebody else and say, you're God's plan A. Now look at some of those people and say, I am plan A. Oh, you guys said that so much better. You know, most people like telling someone else you're the plan. But the minute I say I'm the plan, they're like, no, they're the plan. They already said it first. Right? Listen, my friends, if you want this community to grow, this is not a building. This is a people. The church is not a building. It's a gathering. And it gathers far more than Sunday mornings and Wednesdays. It gathers whenever you choose to get together with someone else and start to share with them what you like, what challenged you, what does it teach me about God, what does it teach me about others, and how are we going to obey it? Those five questions, sitting with one or two other people, that's called discipleship. And I want to let you know today that it is not an option. It's a command. You know how we just talked about obedience? Matthew 28:16-20. Jesus' last words, I have all authority in heaven and earth, and I'm calling you to go and to make disciples and to baptize them and to teach them to obey everything that I've shared with you. When we as a people start saying that that's our job, that we are the plan A, this gathering is going to grow. And guess what? You're going to appreciate each other more, because it is not easy. And there are no professionals. This guy up here, yeah, he might be your pastor, but he is not who it's dependent on. And that worship leader back there, he might have gone to school and he might be a professional, but it's not who it depends on. It depends on us. It depends on you. And my friends, as we are investing in the church personally, we're going to see that it's worth the cost of our time. So don't discount yourself. My little friend, an 11-year-old girl at IYC, she did it. So what holds you back? Is it your age? I'm halfway to 96. Why was I hanging out with junior high girls? Jesus. Why am I here with you this morning? Jesus. Is it your past? You may not know my story, but it is not a clean one. And I just shared with you that last week I was angry. It's not that long ago. But what I want to let you know is that God can redeem it. Whatever your weakness is, he can use it. And he can use your recent ones. You don't have to be days, weeks, or years away from it. It might be 2 hours ago. God can use it for his good. Is it your present? Is it that right now you don't think that you can be used by him? Let God be seen in you. It's okay. Is it that you don't know enough? You know way enough. If you know your story, if you know what God did in your life and you can share it with someone else, that's all you need. And the more scripture you have, sure, the more encouraged you are. But the moment you have a story, Jesus was really good at healing people, and they would say, hey, can we stay with you? And he would say, no, Go back. Tell people about this one. All they had was one story, guys. They didn't even have the Bible. They just had that one interaction, and it was enough. God isn't looking for perfect people, my friends. He's looking for people who will persist. He does not want you to be perfect. He just doesn't want you to give up. How many of you have ever wanted to give up? I've wanted to quit several times. But in those moments, I go to other people who help me to understand that that is not what God asks of me and that I am not alone. If we want to see God's power and we want to see his love and we want to see his kingdom tomorrow, we've got to invest in it today. So who will you commit to cheering on? And who will you let in to cheer you on? I fully believe in this community. I believe that this community has a place and has people right now. You, if you would ask God, he could begin to lay people on your hearts that you could begin pouring deeply into. Guys, you don't need to go and have thousands of people who follow you. You just need a few people that you'll pour into. And then you need a few people pouring into you. It's not that difficult, but it will cost you. It is simple, but it is costly. But it is worth it. And I know and believe that if you would approach it like a kid, if you tell a kid they can't do something, what do? Go do it. Pray that you have a childlike heart in that way. Don't give up. Don't give up. Try again. Get up. Go again. Watch these little guys. They're persistent, right? I learned that this week. When are we going to do this? 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 I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Didn't matter that I didn't know. They just kept asking me. Didn't matter that I didn't know. They just kept asking me. Do that same thing with God. Don't give up. Don't not start trying. God's got something good. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your word today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you call us to be like children, that you just don't want us to give up. Thank you for your love for us that is good, for your word that is true. Help us to see you at work and alive in us and to know that we are loved. And help us to take that and to love others in a way that helps people to see you. Lord, I pray over this community. I pray over Meridian Church of God. I pray over each and every family and every life. And I pray that they would see the value and the worth that they have in your sight because you say so. And you're God. We're not. So whatever we think disqualifies us, God, I ask that they would surrender it today. And whatever it is that they might use to excuse their way out of the command to go and to pour deeply into a few, God, I pray that you would take the fears away and that you would help them to see that this is so much more than something we show up to. It's a place where we come to be encouraged to live out your word because it is true. Father, I pray for this community. I pray for the people here who don't know you. And I pray that doors would open and ears would open and hearts would open and people would be healed and that people would come to see your face and be drawn to you. And I pray that this community of people, God, would be marked by your love, your power, and your pursuit. Help them to carry it outside of these walls and to know that they are here on purpose and you are not finished, but that you are just beginning. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.